Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but Allegron's grinding home from Fear Redless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron. Threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite by the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserve at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood on Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. High Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from High Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. What a massive show we have tonight. It is what I believe the best weekend of the year, AFL Grand Final weekend. It all kicks off tomorrow. Not only do we have the Valley at night, we've got Benalla Cup Day, we've got Coleraine Cup Day, and then on Saturday we've got the Golden Rose. If you're a fan of the rugby, we've also got some preliminary finals or semi-finals in that as well. Boys, it's going to be massive. I'm joined by Will Alford and Nick McGualter. My name is Ben Caluzzi. If you're joining us for the first time, absolutely cannot wait for this weekend to get underway.
It's going to be fantastic. And the best thing is, tomorrow night's your first night at the Valley for us trio. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to.
It's going to be dangerous.
Usually it's just Bot and I running amok and Benny worrying about what we're up to, but... Now the Rat Pack's officially in full flight tomorrow night, so that should be good.
It'll be my first time attending the Moonee Valley races as a fan since 2019 Cox Plate Day.
Wow. Well,
the Japanese man. Right.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy to think.
Ago.
Yeah,
I'll excited? Show you the ropes, mate. Don't worry.
Very excited. I'm not going to be able to get there until probably halfway through the card or maybe after race three, because I have just finished my long journey to Benalla, working on course tomorrow because it's about 365 sponsored day. Huge. Drive was a bit of a pain, 2.5 hours. So if I do sound a little bit more echoey, it's because I'm recording out of a motel room.
He's in the Benalla penthouse suite. Zach could have at least got you the private jet there. Well, Benny's just had to slug it up the highway.
I don't know how he got here, but it wasn't a private jet. I can assure you that.
Okay, he had the helicopter and the jet moved the helicopter.
What are you doing tomorrow with your public holiday off?
Well, I'm working.
I'm working.
And then getting my hair cut. And then I'm venturing over to, what do you call it, the west?
Yeah, the northwest.
Northwest, yep.
We are, so we're all working.
Yeah, I'm only working until lunchtime. And then, or just before lunch, then haircut at lunchtime. And then I think I'm picking up Bish on the way. And then head over to Ads's joint, get ready. And then we'll be at one of the local establishments pre the races and hopefully half cut by the time we get to the races.
Yeah. Beautiful. But yeah, your perm's looking good, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I got my perm done just before.
It's no different than what I did yesterday.
And yes, I'll meet you at the certain establishment.
We better not give it up. I might get a few bloody knocks before we get to the races.
I'm not telling any stories, so your secret's safe with me. Let's start where we always start, shall we? And that is Melbourne Metro. We're racing at the Valley tomorrow night. Firstly, let's start with the track. It is a good four at the moment. The rail's out 3 metres. I believe they're going to put on a little bit more irrigation tonight, 3 to 4 mils, just because they don't want this track to firm up too much. I think it's a positive though, Nico, because if this track gets too firm, then the inside often just turns into dynamite.
It only really matters for one horse tomorrow night. We don't want it up and in. But, yeah, I don't know. I just... Who knows how much rain we're going to get tomorrow. So I'm sure they're going to have to, you know, be more cautious than not, but I still makes me feel a bit icky.
I'm a little bit worried about this track potentially playing on speed. Like Group 1 meeting, you would love if the rail was in the true, but it's out 3 metres. It's just the only little icky thing.
Was it 3 last year?
Yeah, this meeting's always 3, but the Manicato hasn't always been run with rail 3 because usually the Manicato, you know, going back a couple of years, was run on the night before Cox Plate, and the carnival at the Valley is always true.
Yeah.
So...
I know Mitchie Lewis and Milo, when they were on with Gareth earlier today, they were saying that it was predominantly lanes 2 to 4 last year. I think there was a couple that won on in lane 1 or something like that, but it was sort of hard to make ground. But, yeah, those stats are all good and well, but, you know, a lot of those races can sometimes be dictated to by pattern and quality of horse too. So it's not the be-all and end-all.
Yep. Yeah, the favourite in the Group 1 might have to be very, very good if it is an on-rails bias. Fellas, we had a couple of complaints last week about you lot, like, sniffing, block noses, hay fever.
It was actually hay fever. It wasn't. There was no naughtiness to it. Well, was it actually like blocked like a toilet?
And to be honest, I went back and listened to it, and all the feedback was completely fair.
Yeah, I could imagine it would have been.
So, please, if you need to cough,
my apologies.
If you need to clear your nose, or if you need to do any of that shit, please put yourself on mute or get away from the mic.
I'm not sick anymore, so.
Well, that's good. I'm talking to both of you.
Yeah, right.
As he sips his glass of sparkling water.
No, it's actually a G&T, mate.
Oh, have a look at him go.
Leveling up in the world.
Yeah, the greatest footy season's over. He wants to finally have a crackpot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, let's start in race 1. I don't know why Nico's betting in race 1 or why he feels the need to, but anyway, race 1 at Winnie Valley is a 1,200-meter benchmark 84. Sunshine in my pocket, $5 favorite from Princess Q, draws out $5.50. Dagger's also $5.50, draws in. It's got a lot of talent, that horse. Sought After is $8.50. Charcoals is also $8.50. And Endola, $9.50 from Kappa 39, $11. And Home Rule, $12. How have you found a winner here?
Well, I felt kind of obliged to find a winner in this race because there's going to be a lot of punters that are going to be eagerly wanting to have a bet, race 1, that are there or not there. Everyone's just going to be in a good mood, hopefully a few beers deep. And, yeah, it's going to all fall on my shoulders here. So I need one. I actually need a scratching to get into the race. But I thought number 13, Daggers, has been gelded into this preparation. And hopefully it gets this horse back on track. I love the booking of Nash. Should be right up on the speed, which will definitely be no disadvantage for the first race. And will hopefully give us something to cheer about. Sunshine in my pocket. And Princess Q are definitely the dangers, but I'm a little worried about their maps and runs in transit. So I thought, providing we get one scratching, that Daggers will be a great bet. He's a good horse around Mooney Valley, and hopefully the gelding operation can switch him back on, and he can recover some of his old form because he looked a pretty promising horse at the start of his career, so hopefully you can get back to that. And I thought, you know, around $5 was a pretty easy bet. You don't have to have a lot on at that price. Just something to have a little nibble on. And, yeah, fingers crossed we can get the night off to a flyer.
I was so close to backing Daggers too, but he's been missing the start a little bit. And I from barrier three. He gets Nash on, which is
Nash will rev him positive. Up, give him a kick in the guts before they load.
But he's, boom. He has been missing the start a little bit at the trials too. So
Nash is good to get him out.
He'd
want to
jump with him. Yeah, he'd want to jump with him though. Was the only knock for me.
Oh yeah, he would want his back buried.
Do you reckon these Sydney jockeys fly out at 11 PM tomorrow night, or do you reckon they sleep in Melbourne and then get an early flight back to Sydney? Probably the latter.
I have absolutely no idea.
I don't really know, but it'd be an early morning flight, wouldn't it?
I'd say so.
I'm not sure.
I don't know how late the flights go, but that's be something for someone to research.
Like 10 o'clock or something. I reckon. Yeah. J-Mac could be pretty keen to get home.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, they're only like 10 minutes from the airport.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot of sleep if they're trying to get a flight tomorrow night straight after the races.
No, but they'd rather probably be in their own bed at, 1 a.m.
1 a.m. Yeah, true.
And then getting up at, whatever time.
6, 5.
Yeah, they would
probably only getting 4 or 5 hours sleep.
I don't think they'd be going to track work anyway in the morning.
No, they wouldn't. It's probably a 6 a.m. wake up.
So they'd be fine.
Let's move on to race three. Another benchmark 84. This time it's over the Valley's famous 9.55. It's going to be sad to see this series go because I think once the new track configuration, once the new track configuration comes in, I don't think there's going to be a 9.55 start necessarily. So they might have to move the winning post if they want to run these sort of races. Yeah, I think it's going to be different.
That's a disgrace. I mean, I hate the 9.55 meter race. It's the Valley.
It's iconic.
What the Valley's about. It's iconic.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see what Michael, Benny and the team want to do. But this race, I reckon they're a good chance to break 55 seconds, and it is the 55-second challenge. Grand Larceny, $2.60 favourite from Unflinching, $4.80, flies at this track and gets the Equicast off. Beast Mode gets the blinkers on, $8. Shearshoff also $8. Harry Got Styles, $8.50. Rich Fortune, $11. And Philosopher, $15. Nico, we know they like to go like last week's pay in these sort of races, and the map is always important. Tell us who you found.
Yeah, well, I thought this was probably the second best betting race of the night in this race. Not really a race that I usually like to dive in to the 9.55s, but it sort of stood out like beach balls to me. I really was keen to be with number two, Unflinching. I took $7 earlier today. I think it's a very easy bet, sort of jump lead win scenario. He'll cross Philosopher, who's drawn in barrier two. We're drawn in barrier four. He trialled like he always does. He's a ball of speed. He's, of course, a distance specialist. And I thought Grand Larceny is the only danger, so you can have a saver on him, but I'm very keen on Flinch. He belted Oak Hill last time he raced here by 3 lengths. Wonderreach didn't beat the ambulance home after going to war with Unflinching in the lead. That horse has gone on to win 3 from 3 in its next preparation in Sydney, unbeaten. Beat Zealously, who's a good horse. Would probably be pretty close to favourite here, I would have thought. The form's everywhere. I'm not worried. 60 kilos after the claim for Logan Bates. He rode him here last time. And, yeah, he's just a... His race, 9.55 at the Valley. So, I think he's probably like a $3.50 chance. I'd have him, sort of equal favourite or close enough to Grand Larceny. I'd have Grand Larceny probably $3.20, Unflinching at sort of $3.50. I don't really give anything else a chance in the race. Unflinching's either beaten them before or they're not good enough or not suited over 1,000 metres, or 9.55, I should say. But, I think it's a great betting race.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to back him as well. I took the $6.50 today. I think from barrier four, he probably does find the front.
He'll cross Philosopher.
That's the only little.
I went back and watched. I deep dived this race because it needed a lot of work, really, because you got to nail the map. You should nail the winner in these type of races. And Philosopher's not that great out. And last time they raced against each other, he clearly worked over and sort of, he beat Philosopher for speed. So
yeah, I think he'll cross and lead, and if he does, that's halfway to winning the race.
Yeah.
He's got the best 9.55 figures in this race, as Nico alluded to. He gets in well, 60 kilos after the claim, and the fact that you can still get a backable price, nearly $5, that's acceptable. So I'm happy with him. His recent trial at Cranbourne was very, very good as well. Beat a little deep in that. And, yeah, like, smashed Oak Hill here last time. Oak Hill has proven to be a black-type horse.
Some people thought Oak Hill should have won the Moyer. So, like, that...
I wouldn't say he should have won it, but he was a little bit unlucky.
You know what I mean? He's got, like, all the form stacks up around.
The Tiger Shark form stacks up well from Sydney. Grand Larceny is going to be buried on the fence and is going to need a bit of luck at some stage. I'd probably still mark him narrowly favourite. But, yeah, it's going to
have your heart
a lot
in your mouth if you're on Grand Larceny. Like, they're not the bets you want to have at the Valley. Like, the position that he's going to be in, he might get out and he might get the gap, but it's a low percentage play. At least this horse is going to be out in front, high-tailing. If they catch him, they catch him, but he's going to burn the track up. So, yeah, I think he's a fantastic bet.
Let's move on to race four. It is the Group 2 Carbone Lawyers Stud Stakes. What do we do with Carbone?
Carbone get him on the phone.
Yes.
Get Carbone on the phone. That's it, lads. Vinrock, he's been smashed. I don't know if you've seen this, lads. $1.90 was the top price today, and the Lawyers have gone whack into $1.70 now, top price, from West of Swindon, $4.80. Got caught wide last time. Now draws barrier one, so should get a more economical run. Prestige Olay is there at $9, Hillier at $15, and Romantic Encounter at $16. I'll go first here. Vinrock clearly on top. Probably should have taken the $2.50 when it was available all in. Wasn't for long. He was terrific last time, bounced back. I think you just have to forgive his first up run where it was a fast tempo at 1,200 metres. Nothing was really running on. The wind was behind their back and those sprinters were just kicking away in those shoot races at Caulfield. Bounced back last time at Flemington, carried the penalty 59.5 kilos. Look, I think West of Swindon will give him a race again because he did cover a fair bit of ground there. But just looking at the ratings, like Vinrock meets them all 2 to 2.5 kilos better off the weights for having already handled them last time and is either going to lead or sit outside lead from barrier eight. So clearly on top, I don't want to take $1.70. I'd probably take $1.90 if it gets back out tomorrow. But yeah, I think it's a race in two between Vinrock and West of Swindon. If Vinrock has to do a bit of work from that wide alley and West of Swindon just gets the dream split from barrier one, then it's the danger. Prestige LA, maybe you could give a half chance to, but it's all about Vinrock. I just don't want to take $1.70. Nico?
Yeah, I think I agree with your sentiment that you don't want to take $1.70, neither do I really. I do think he's a put-in take-out job in the same sentence. This rolls forward, step up to the mile, should be no issue. He'll win this race. Hopefully we can get a financial earn out of it and he'll just add to his impressive CV en route to a Guineas. He's a Group 1 horse against not Group 1 horses. So, yeah. Hopefully it gets out a little bit, but also wouldn't be surprised to see him start at $1.50 either.
Mm. It could be a Yulong multi. But what's your thoughts?
I think he's about $1.60 chance. I should have taken $1.90. I didn't. But if he gets out a bit on race day, then I'll be all over him. I think, you know, he'll just roll across and sit on speed, and that's where you want to be around the valley.
Surely some of these bookies on course tomorrow have got to have a bit of go in them and take some of these shorties on.
I think you'll get better than $1.70.
Yeah, you will.
Surely you're going to see like $1.90 on the track.
Yeah.
Have a bit of go in your bookmakers. I know you're out there listening. Give us a few rolls better on track. Encourage punters to have a bet on track, not bet on their phones.
Yeah, well, there's a good chance you will get top price on track. All right, race five is the first leg of the quaddie. It's the Group 3 Scarborough Stakes.
I can't wait for this race.
1,200 metres for the fillies, and 1,200 metres could be a query for our favourite $2.60 Escher from Memo, $7.50. Point Barrow could well be the best horse in this race, $7.50, but draws the car park in 11. Vain Girls there at $8. Prestige Snitzel, $9.50. La Dorada, another one who comes through the Moyer, is $10. Nico.
Wow, what a race. This is my favourite race of the entire night. I'm going to make a lot of money here. I'm laying the absolute guts out of Escher. Win and place. She's a 1,000-metre speedy squib.
$50 liability on Betfair punters.
Got no hope of running 1,200 metres. happy to take her on at all costs. I think she'll shorten tomorrow because people want to dive into her. But yeah, she had her heart broken last start in the Moira, and she's pulled up with excuses after the race. I think she pulled up lame and with a slow recovery. Yeah, I don't see how she bounces out of that race and or runs 1,200 metres. So more than happy to take her on. I'm really going to dive into laying her the place. I think I can get a very good earn out of that. And I'm going to have a couple of bets in the race as well. As long as Point Barrow stays in the race, I want to be on her. I think she's probably the best horse in this race. She won on class first up on a deteriorating track, and she was much better visually last start on better going. She's an exciting horse moving forward. And I also want to be with number 4, Vangirl. Booking of J-Mac is significant here. A great debut win before running well in the two-year-old Magic Millions, not beaten far. They've sent her straight down to Melbourne. She's trialled twice, trialled super both times. Looks a real threat here. It's a race that I'm heavily keen to get involved in. And, if Point Barrow was to come out, I could probably entertain Prestige Snitzel as my second bet. But, really keen to have a bet in this race. And might have egg on my face or I might not. But, it's the best race of the night for me.
Well, you've identified two horses that I'm backing as well. One of them I've already backed, and that is Prestige Snitzel at $15. I just love the late strength that she showed to win that Mornington size. That was over 1,200 metres. She's gradually improved with every start. I think she maps for a perfect run from barrier 4. Look, you look at her, I think she had a jump out or a trial against Escher, and Escher dropped her. But that was 1,000 metres, no pressure. I just think 1,200 metres, as you touched on, Nico, is going to be a big question mark for Escher. She's coming through a real gut buster in that Moya, and I think she's going to be on tired legs late. So Prestige Snitzel, I've had something on. Not a big bet by any means. And Point Barrow, if the track is fair, if we've got a read on how it's playing in these first 4 races and you can make ground, then I'll be backing her as well. I thought her performance to win last time at Sandown when she got the split, gee, it was impressive. She just shot away 1 by 2. The rating was really solid. She's going for 3 wins on the bounce. And if the Freedmans keep her in, hopefully that track is playing fair. That's the biggest caveat. If it's not playing fair, you'll get $10. If it is playing fair, then she's probably going to start shorter than $7.50. It's onside as well. So I'm 6 and 9. Will, any thoughts?
I thought Vangirl was a little bit interesting. I like what it did on debut, beating Talk to be sure. And that form stood up throughout the sort of winter months in Queensland, all the way even through the JJ Atkins. And then it went to the Gold Coast Magic Millions race and was 1,000 metres to 1,200 metres with CJ Graham or something in the saddle, and gets the biggest jockey switch you've ever seen. Trialled really nicely. Yeah, I thought if I was going to back wide, it'd be it. I thought, yeah, Escher looked short at over 1,200 metres.
Just so much intent with Vangirl. Like, J-Mac's booked. For a Queensland trainer.
There's something for the punters there because we've tipped one at nearly $10, $8,
and $7.50. There's like three. It's a fill your plate up job. Buffet.
Yeah.
Fill your booth.
You could back all 3 of our runners here and still make a result.
And lay the guts out of Escher, win place, boom, fill up.
The fan stakes, race 6. We won't be backing 3 here because there's only 6 in the race and one of them's $1.45. Wait for Age, Over the Mile, Group 2, Treasure the Moment. Reached a top price of $1.55. Final field is now $1.45. From Pride of Jenny, $4.20. Tom Kitten, $5.50. Attrition, $35. Flying Valley, $126. And Alan Kerr, you can get over 200s for. Well, how good was this race last year when Pride of Jenny just went straight to the front? I think she was definitely my best bet of the night. There was a couple others that were on her and Mr. Brightside. They started almost equal favourites, and she just skipped around the valley and did her thing. But she's first up here. How fast are they going to go on her, Will?
I don't know. I've got no idea. If anyone has I'd love to hear someone have a firm opinion on Pride of Jenny. how could you possibly know?
I think that's what makes this race so interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Declan Bates rides, so I assume she'll go to the pace that she typically does. Like, I mean, if she doesn't go the pace she normally does, and well, she's got none, and you know, she hasn't done a whole lot of racing, so I don't know. It's, I thought she was retired. She's, I sort of found out she was at the trials. I was like, oh, what? She's been retired like three different times now. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird race. Treasure of the Moment's coming off colic. That's not ideal, but you know, the way she won at Corfia was like just on another level. I mean, I've got Tom Kitten 550, so maybe I'll back him, but I don't really want to bet.
Yep.
In the race.
I think Pride of Jenny will go reasonably fast in front, but given she's only first up, I don't think they're going to go as fast as she might have done it in sort of recent times or even in this race last year. Mark Zara hunts up from barrier one and I think sits a clear second on Treasure of the Moment. And I don't think he wants to let Pride of Jenny more than, say, five lengths away from her at any given time in the run. I think Pride of Jenny, given that she's not race fit, her jump outs have been okay without being anything crash hot. I think Pride of Jenny gets the short footsteps at the 300, and I really think Treasure of the Moment will put a hole in these and win by two or three. Her first up win in the Memsey was sensational, and what we figured out from that run was that she absolutely froths a fast tempo, which is what she's going to get here. Tom Kitten, he was first up in that Maccabi Diva Stakes, and it was fastly run. He pulled his head off. So I'm just wondering if he could potentially be lacking a platform to take on Pride of Jenny. And that's what sort of draws me back into the favorite, even though she is so short, I can understand it. So if I get $1.55, $1.60 tomorrow on track, I think I'll be opening the shoulders and having a fair dinkum crack. It sounds like that colic attack wasn't as serious as it can be. And if it was, she wouldn't be here. So apparently she's working the house down, and Treasure of the Moment clearly on top for me. I think attrition will be a big improver here, but I don't think he'll be winning. It's all about TTM, Nico.
Yeah. It's a real conundrum, this race. I think there's only two possible scenarios. I think if Jenny's dialed up, ready to go, and she's out wheeling and dealing in front, doing what Jenny does, and these horses and jockeys in behind want to play funny buggers like they have already done this spring carnival and decide they don't want to chase, that's a dangerous prospect for her to be left alone in front, and they might not catch her if she is near her best. Whether she is near her best at this point in her career and or first up, we will find out. So I don't want her to be a loser for me, because I think she's the only horse that can lead and disrupt the Treasure of the Moment. I think that's the situation. Either Jenny leads and they don't catch her, or she leads, she gets tired, Treasure puts a hole in them, and we see something pretty special, and just the aura to the Cox Plate is well and truly back on after this little setback. I think $1.40 is tight enough. I think you have to get better, but I don't know where they're going to put the juice. I don't think Jenny can start much shorter than $4.
I reckon they'll back Tom from 550.
Well, how could you possibly back Tom Kitten? He's going to be behind Treasure of the Moment. There's no way he's going to concede a start and past her.
As we get closer to jump time, unless there are significant bets coming in for Treasure of the Moment, the market percentage comes down, and naturally they usually get out a little bit, unless she's absolutely getting crunched. I can see some people specking attrition at $34, 50s even.
Yeah, but we've seen the blueprint for what happens in these type of races around the valley. Like, we saw it last year. Attrition just ran around for prize money.
Yeah.
Like, he might beat Tom Kitten home. He might run third. I don't know. So the way that I'm probably going to play this race, probably play Vinrock into Jenny, as the main bet, Vinrock into Treasure as the sort of saver bet. I just think Treasure's short. I love her, want to see her bounce back, but from a betting perspective, the $1.40 or whatever the price they serve you up tomorrow night versus the $2 she'll be to beat Sir Delius in the Might and Power, I know which one is the much better bet. She'll be too fast for Sir Delius in a Might and Power. Her turn of foot around Caulfield will just drop them.
Yeah, well, if she wins this by three, you might not get $2. She might be $1.80 in that, but we'll soon find out.
That's the scenario that happens. The $1.80 next time, or whatever that price is in the Might and Power, is still a better bet than the price tomorrow night.
Fair enough.
It's a better spectacle than betting race.
Yeah,
I'm
not betting at the current prices. Don't get me wrong, but she's clearly on top, and I wouldn't be surprised because she's the type of horse that can take a forward position. And given she's drawn barrier one on the rails, I don't think Prodigy is going to be that far in front of her. And if she's only four in front of her at the 400, she'll monster her, I reckon. But
yeah,
we'll soon find out.
I can't see Jenny rocking up here, not sort of half dialed, ready to go.
As Kieran said in the past, she's a horse you actually have to get race fit to run because she'll get injured.
You've got to think that she's somewhere near her top, and near her top is a dangerous prospect in this race. If these jockeys just want to say, we'll just beat her.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Group 1 Manikado Stakes, 1,200 metres, weight for age up next. Lady Shenandoah is $2.30 from Barrakeel. You can now get a top price of around $6 or maybe $5. Some of these prices are not really updating. Out to Alabama Lass, $7. Magic Time, $8. Skybird, $8. Rothfire, $19. And Long of the Rest. Speed is interesting here. There's certainly not as much of it compared to the Moya. Alabama Lass goes forward. Does she lead or does she let something else cross and lead her? Barrakeel wants to be forward from 7. Rothfire wants to be forward from 8. Magic Time is probably going to be fence. She might be coffin or she might be a couple back on the rails. Skybird and Lady Shenandoah, I think both go back. I think J-Mac will half have a look early. I don't think he'll just snag her straight back to last. I think he'll come out and see if there's a spot there. And if not, he'll just take his medicine and go a pair further back. But everything just depends on how this track is playing. If it's playing fair, I think Lady Shenandoah is up there with Jolly Star, contesting as the best sprinter in Australia. I thought her return run in that Concord Stakes, I didn't think she was a 1,000-meter horse, and she was awesome. She ran a weight for age rating of 102. If you go back to last preparation, she's ran 104, 106, 102. Like, these are just numbers that these horses can't compete with. And if she produces it here, I think she just wins. Barrakeel, I've had a small saver on. He's getting out to a really nice price now. He's unbeaten 4 out of 4 at the Valley. And, he was held up last start in the Moya. Once he got out, he really monstered them late. So I think it's mostly a race in two. But Lady Shenandoah is the best bet of the night. But
I think that Rothfire will lead. I think there'll be handlebars down. And then I think Barrakeel will come across with him. And then that'll give Alabama Lass probably the greatest run of all time. And I think she's a $5.50 chance. And I think she's a bet. Lady Shenandoah, I think you're right, Ben. I do think that James McDonald he'll have a look because she does have early speed. She can be there, but it just depends on whether... they're not going to let her be there. So he might have to take his medicine and go back to last and try and loop them. And it's hard to do.
I don't think he's going back to last. I think he'd rather be... I reckon there's more chance of him being 3 wide, no cover midfield than going all the way back to last.
Maybe. I don't know.
Geez, that'd be hot if he just rides her 3 wide, no cover, rides her arrogant like the best horse that she pisses in.
Mate, if he's 3 wide, no cover, and she gets beat, you'll fucking blow up and say it was the worst ride of all time.
these are the cards we're dealt.
I trust J-Mac to make the right decision. If he rides her like that and she gets beat, well, so be it. He makes the right decision more often than not. So sometimes he's going to get it wrong. That's sometimes you've got to cop that. He doesn't make many mistakes and he doesn't get it wrong very often.
Yeah, I think the juice of the market is with Skybird. I think she's too short. I think she's more like a $14 chance.
Echo and people will say that.
Forgot to mention that. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And the arrogance from Inglis, just signing her up today for the slot. What happens when she runs second half of the field here?
Yeah, she was good in the Moy, and people say, well, she was unlucky, but she's going to be behind Lady Shenandoah, and that's not, I mean, I think in this race, if you're behind Lady Shenandoah, you've probably got limited chance, a very, very limited chance. So
see how Bot's softened on his words of describing after what happened with Barrackeel?
What?
The TikTok.
I was right. He drifted heavily. And he was out the gate, and he just happened to win. Like, I wasn't saying he couldn't win.
We were both wrong.
Anyway, I was wrong, but he won.
Malua Racing, they're listening. So, g'day to everyone at the stable.
Hope he gets a slot.
I'll put my hand up and say I got it wrong. And yeah, I hope he does get an Everest slot if he runs top two here. He probably should.
Yeah, no, he deserves a slot, but. I think he's about the right price now. We haven't seen the best of her here in Australia. She ran a massive rating.
Oh, I saw the best of her. New Zealand.
Yeah, you were there that day. She won by 5 lengths, beating a Group 1 winner, Crescetti.
That was a performance and a half.
If she runs that number and gets the greatest map of all time, good luck, Lady Shenandoah.
Oofed. All right, let's speed this up.
Bots has put down the gauntlet. Like, just he's absolutely put the gauntlet down to Lady Shenandoah. That's real bait.
I think she's I think Lady Shenandoah is a 260 chance. I'm not gapping.
You might get it. You'll get $2.60 on track, I reckon.
Well, maybe. I agree with both of you. I think Alabama Lass is the easy over. She's the map horse. No shock to see she's been well supported. Narrowly defeated in the Moira on a hot speed. She's better suited in this race with some cover and out to 1,200 metres. She's the clear danger and only danger to Lady Shenandoah. And, yeah, Lady Shenandoah, I want 250. Think I'll get it, if not better. She's the best horse in the race. She was a moral beaten first up. Barrier 10 is better than Barrier 1. As I alluded to, J-Mac will know what to do. I think he's got to give her a similar ride to what Opie gave Imperatriz.
Yes.
We sort of spoke about that earlier in the week, Benny. He's
light the match at the 500. Take off.
And her being a sort of strong 7 furlong horse gives J-Mac the ability to do that. It's not like he has to be worried that she's going to be out of tickets last 50 if he lights her up early. So with the right luck, I can see him doing something similar to what Opie did. And it wouldn't surprise me if she replicates what Andrew Capital did. Just J-Mac gets on his bike, pops off around, boom, ease down, streets in. Like, I think she's got a bit on this field at her best, albeit Alabama Lass is a nice horse. But, people are sort of saying Lady Shenandoah is the biggest, but not biggest because there is no danger to Kaying Rising in an Everest. It's a great race. I know all the punters on course are going to be cheering for one horse, and I think there'll be a heavy bit of disappointment if she does get beat. But, all trust in J-Mac. And you don't often hear Waller talk the way he's spoken about Lady Shenandoah. Like, what he said last week with Gareth, and, you know, he hasn't just said it once, he said it sort of multiple times, and he doesn't usually speak out of school like that. He's usually Mr. Conservative. So, yeah, I hope we sort of see something pretty special tomorrow night, and I think we might.
Yep, she's going to win here, and then she's going to start second favourite in the Everest. That's my call. And I've just got a little scenario. There's every chance Rothfire tries to go forward, doesn't get in, is three wide, no cover. J-Mac just follows Rothfire across. Boom, all of a sudden he's three wide with cover. Second if he's three wide with cover and only 2 lengths off the leader at the 400, good luck. Honestly, good luck. All right, exciting imagine stuff. That. Race 8 is the stock stakes. Let's speed this up a little bit. This is a Group 2 1500 for the mares. This race used to be at a mile, but we dropped it back to 1500 once the fee-in was put onto this date to just to Bit of a discrepancy between the two races. O2 Good, $3.50. Favorite from Abounding, $4.40. Just Feeling Lucky, $7. Splashback, $7. Smoke and Princess, $14. Abelor, also $14. The interesting thing with this race is the speed is drawn out wide. Arbaloa only knows one way. We'll try and get across. O2 Good can just follow it across, and Just Feeling Lucky is the other one who wants to be handy. So there should be a little bit of tempo in this race because you've got all the speed.
Will lead?
I don't know if it'll lead, but it'll want to be close. I think Just Feeling Lucky could lead.
Yeah, that's what I reckon.
And I just think that sets up not a bad scenario for O2 Good, who can either be outside lead or even possibly find the 1-1 with Craig Williams on board. I've taken $6 all in. Had the mail that Lazuro might not be running here. The Echocast going on first time is a little bit annoying, but I thought she was sensational.
It's not ideal.
But I thought she was great behind Lazuro first up. She can only improve off that performance. Up to 1,500 is no stress at all, and a fast run race wouldn't be any stress at all as well. Craig Williams is a good booking, so she's clearly on top. And I'll let you go, Nico, because I'm going to back one of your roughies as well.
Yeah, so I sort of think Just Feeling Lucky should be able to cross and lead. It's not the be-all end-all if she doesn't, but she just brings strong Sydney form. Very brave win last start at Wyong. It's a system bet for me, as the punters know. It's a system I like to follow when a jockey goes for one ride at a meeting, and Tommy Berry's flying down for the last race of the night for one ride. So that sort of says a little bit about her chances, I think. I think she'll cross to the front, and I'd have her marked considerably shorter. I think she's more like a $4 chance. There's far too big of a discrepancy with her and O2 Good in the market. No sort of knock O2 Good. She was really good last start. She'll be outside. Just Feeling Lucky will overcome across. The Equicast isn't nice. Not on her at this point in time. And after hearing that, I don't necessarily know if I want to be. I have backed another horse in this race. I think it's clearly the best value on the night. Number 3, Rumwood again. Took some of the $26 earlier today. This girl just loves the valley. Perfect draw for her in one. She'll be prominent to the speed, just in behind them. And with a little bit of luck at the right time, she's definitely a winning chance, I think. Her form of late is pretty strong. She's just a stupid price.
She ran well on that So You Think Stakes behind Attrition, Moira, Desert Lightning, beat Zardozzi home. It's a strong race.
Yeah, she's got very good form at the valley. I think she's silly price.
I'll be having something on her.
$11 chance or something like that.
I'll be having something on her as well. Barrier one. Look, she'll need a little bit of luck, but she'll be midfield on the rail somewhere. And if the split comes, and she's ran really well in a couple group races here at the Valley before, dry track, soft track, doesn't really matter for her. She's done it on both. So, she's over the odds at $23
currently. She would have ran closer last time if she was able to stay on the fence. She was on the fence, and she had to sort of go out and around them.
Yeah.
I don't think she should have to go out and around them tomorrow night, I hope.
No, 100% agree.
The horses in front of her should take her into the straight.
All right, let's get to
what? What are you chuckling at?
Ben's trying to spare this up. You just keep fucking talking.
Yeah, well, it's the best meeting of the night and the weekend.
Yeah, we'll go a little bit quicker. All right, race 3 at Sandown. Obviously, the rail's out 3 metres. This track's going to play completely different to how the Valley might. It's going to be, I think, down the middle to outside. They raced here on Wednesday. That was the pattern. The rail goes out a little bit, but it was true on Wednesday. Goes to 3 metres here. I don't think that has any bearing. Sandown is a nice, big, wide, spacious track, and they'll be coming down the outside. Shoot race to start. 1,000 metres, three-year-old event. Street Artist, $3.10. Aleppo Pine, $6. Odessa, $7. Shining Smile, $7. Has he been found out a little bit now? Stepping up in class. Son of Kirk is $9.50. And Live Another Day is $11. Bodder, Street Artist, I think returned gelded going into this preparation, and put down a very nice number at Mornington.
Yeah, always had talent. Market always sort of had a good opinion of it, always trialed well, and then went to Mornington, gelded off a 37-day break, and just absolutely belted the clock. And I think he's a 250 chance here. They put a 420.
What did you get?
370. I didn't get the 420, but just great bet. Like these are all, like, I don't think the
numbers.
The form of, yeah, they are numbers, and I think this horse might be I've been pretty good, so yeah, I'm happy to take $3.10 is the best price. I'm happy to take that.
Yeah, I'm on at $3.30. I think he's a cracking bet. That rating goes really well here and gets him with 54 kilos on the minimum. Like, hello, thank you. We lose Mark Zara and we get Daniel Stackhouse. That's the only little niggle, but he's still a very good jockey and Barrier 3 is good. Son of Kirk gets blinkers for the first time for the Freedmans in those colours. It does scare me a little bit of what's his name vibes.
Artorias. But he's nowhere near as good as Artorias, I'll tell you that right.
I don't think he's anywhere near as good, so that helps. Race 4 is a benchmark 84.
I was with Street Artists for what it's worth. That was the only bet that I was having at Sandown.
All right, that makes a line of three. Race 4, benchmark 84, 1,400 metres. King Zephyr, $2.40. Rykoki, $5. Just a Deal, $5.50. Sassy Boom, $11. Le Ferrari, $15. And Liberami, $16. I'll go first. The top weight is the best bet of the day on Saturday, King Zephyr. He got lost around that valley turn last start. And once he straightened up, his late sectionals were good. But Le Fracas just, he was the race fit horse. Yeah, you know, Le Fracas going really well at the moment. And he just dropped him around that school side. But getting to 1,400 metres, getting back onto a bigger track, this is it's a little bit of D-Day for King Zephyr. We know he put that winning streak in and then we forgave him down the straight, soft track, first time seeing a straight course at Flemington. And then last start, it was just had to be a forgive again. But I think he's more of an even money chance here. And I think the reason we're getting a good price is because Rykoki's last start win does rate very well. But I think King Zephyr is going to run all over them here. And yeah, he's better than benchmark 84 grade, I'm convinced. And I think he should be shorter. So best bet at Sandown on Saturday is King Zephyr.
We get 270, I'll back him.
Beautiful. Anything to add?
Oh, nice horse. I think he just was beaten. He was just beaten for speed last time over 1,200 metres. I think he'll improve up to 14. Yeah, he'll get a soft map. So
yep.
He's a nice horse.
All right. Perfect. We'll go to race 6. We'll skip a couple. 1,000 Guineas Prelude, Group 2, 1,400 metres. We just missed last week with Chateau Easy, but the plan almost came off. Got the price.
Yeah, well, Yum won.
Oh, you won. You won at $23. I didn't back Yum, but I took $16 all in for Chateau Easy. Didn't quite come off. Ole Dance is a very nice filly, $3.50. She'll probably get back from that barrier, but surely this race is going to suit her a lot more than Mooney Valley. Ferivia is there at $7, save for this. Custom $7, Salty Pearl $10, and Balazane $13. Who do you like?
Ole Dance is, I think, clearly the best horse in this race, and provided she is handled well by Black Shin, I think that she'll be winning this race and going on to bigger and better things. I think 400 metres only suits her. A couple of nice fillies in this race, but I think she's just a little bit better than them, and I think 2-1 is her price.
Great. Have you taken a price already?
Not yet, but I will.
Fantastic. Let's move on to race 7. The Sandown Stakes, Group 3, 1,500 metres. It's going to be a key lead up to races like the Toorak Handicap and maybe even the Epsom if horses want to venture to Sydney. Transatlantic is $3.60 from Evaporate, $4. Rise at Dawn, $6. We'll be coming out of this race and going to Sydney. That's our male. Athanatos, $9.50. Savon Ice is $14 and Coat Atlantic, $15. Evaporate's the best horse in this race, Botter. I thought he was unlucky first up. He might have had a couple little niggling issues since then because he hasn't run since mid-August. But if he can bounce back, surely he's the one.
Does anyone want to explain to me how Transatlantic's shorter than Evaporate? Evaporate started favourite in the PB Lawrence versus Private Eye last start.
I'll tell you why. His favourite. Feel free. That I don't agree with it for what it's worth, but this would be why, because he's 3 from 4 second up, and Evaporate is coming off a couple of little setbacks. That'd be why.
He's 5 or 6 weeks between runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal. The trial was fine between runs. And if he runs his number, he will win. And he's 3-1, $4. I think that's fair. Like, it's he started a shorter price of what he is now in a Group 2 last start, PB Lawrence against better horses. How transatlantic didn't win last time? Maybe I'm holding a grudge, but fucking hell. Yeah. Evaporates the bet here.
Where does he map from barrier 10?
Who cares? He's the best horse in this race. just he's 3-1. And like he's just a bet. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where he maps. He's got Blake Shinn. I don't care.
Yeah, no, he's the bet for me as well. I'll be backing him. I have backed him. $4.40. There's going to be some deductions that come off that. But yeah, his form just elite. His starting price profile is awesome. Went to New Zealand. We know that form around Damask Rose reads well. He then absolutely put a space on them in the Carbine Club up in Sydney. And he was unlucky first up in the Lawrence. We saw he was unlucky as well first up at Caulfield last preparation behind Angel Capital. Should have got a lot closer. I'm not saying would have beat Angel Capital. I'm not saying that at all, but would have got a lot closer. So he's run into a bit of bad luck as well. And I think 1500 to 1600 meters is his best trip. So yeah, he's the one for me, but you're going to have to take a shorter price than what's on offer right now, because Rise at Dawn is coming out. But just quickly on the last 1800 meter open handicap, Globe $3, Wooten Verney $7.50, Plymouth $8. I think Plymouth will go to the Benalla Cup. Hard to cross $8.50 and pounding $12. Can Globe lead all the way here?
Yeah, he sure can, but I don't think I'll be on him. Plymouth will win the Benalla Cup tomorrow, so he won't run here, but he's my tip in the Benalla Cup. He'll win that.
All right. You might just want to save that one for once we do Around the Grounds as well. We'll recap that one.
Sorry. I didn't say that, punters. Don't worry about that.
All right. Let's get to a bit of Rose Hill Gardens now before we wrap up. I'm really proud of the way you boys have sped this up, or else it was going to go for at least an hour and a half.
Oh, well.
Well, Nico's shut up for a bit, so that's probably made the difference.
The best weekend of the year. Who gives a shit if it's a long podcast?
Yeah, but you don't want
to get his good sleep.
His sleep can wait. The punters want winners.
Nico, do you want to bet in the Heritage or the Golden Pennant, or just want to go straight to race eight?
I'm only having the two bets on Saturday. I'm only back in
bullshit.
Well, I am. I don't necessarily want to back King Zephyr at $2.30 because he's starting to become a bit just on the nose.
What do the kids say these days? Bot? Cap? That's Cap? Nico's Cap?
Well, how many times can you keep making excuses for horses?
Mate, you're like fucking 5 years older than me.
How many times can you keep making excuses for horses?
Once.
Yeah?
It's like my whole
I've made
gig.
Excuses for him now twice.
Wait, what horse are you talking about?
King Zephyr.
Oh,
made excuses for him in Flemington, made excuses for him last time.
He's in the bin.
He can show me. No, he's not in the bin. He's on the bench, and he can show me that he deserves to come back on the ground.
All right. He's the tactical sub.
Street artist. Street artist is a certainty. Backing him, and I'm going to have a two-bet play in the Golden Rose.
Right. So Lockie Neal's going to pop the calf at quarter time, and King Zephyr's going to take the green vest off, and he'll be straight on the field.
Well, maybe.
Race 8 is the Golden Rose. Group 1, 1,400 metres. This is for our best three-year-olds. I think this is one of three of the best three-year-old races in Australia, the Golden Rose, the Caulfield Guineas, and the Coolmore Stud Stakes. Tempted is the Coolmore favourite and is also the favourite here at $2.90 from Autumn Boy. Speaking of favourites, his favourite in the Caulfield Guineas. Woten is $6. Skyhook, $6.50. I think the chances are in there, to be honest. Bayvacht is $9.50. And Nepotism, $16. May as well mention 60s, who should lead this at $16. State Visit wasn't far off. Woten and the like last preparation. And Rivellino is not a bad horse. They're both 50-1. Nico.
I reckon State Visit might be the spring champions horse.
Ooh, yeah, not a bad shout.
There's two chances in this race, I think. Tempted couldn't have done any more. First up, all the word was that she was underdone, she was this, she was that. She was belted in betting, and she belted the boys. It was so impressive. I love this horse. I think she's a superstar. I think her map is a little tricky. Brownie's going to need to give her a good ride because I don't think this map's as straightforward as what some may perceive it to be. I think Bayvacht and 60s will lead. I don't know how hard they're going to go. I'm not suggesting there'll be team riding, but Bayvacht has got to be a query of running 1400 if they go a clip. And 60s, well, he's an inferior horse. So the quicker they go, the quicker he's going to stop. I think the only danger to Tempted, apart from a badly run race, is Woderson. I think there's a sense of timing with him. I think grand final day, barrier one, suck up, in behind, produced at the right time. He's going to be closer to the speed when they do click up the speed, if they go slow, which I think they sort of will. And he's going to have a head start on Tempted. And yeah, I think it's the danger, Woderson, to Tempted. I think Autumn Boy is disgustingly short. I love this horse. I think he's going to be extremely hard to beat, along with Nepotism in a Caulfield Guineas. But I think staying at 1,400 metres is not what he wants. He was ran off his legs last time. Looked like he wanted a mile already. Kept coming late. I can see him being back in a slowly run race, really just in a world of pain. I don't think he should be as short as what he is in the market. I think Tempted deserves to be favourite. I think Woderson is the only danger to her. And, that's the way that I see the race.
It's very interesting because both of these Walla runners, Woden and Autumn Boy, both blinkers on first time.
Intent.
So that's a bit of Chris Walla semi-grand final intent. I think there's two chances in this race, and I'm going to say one of them is Tempted and one of them is Autumn Boy. So I'm half against Nico. I think Autumn Boy still is the better Walla runner. If Tempted runs her last start rating and she extends out to 1,400 metres, she's unbeatable. They won't beat her. The query is obviously where she gets to on the map. She's going to be probably worse than midfield, off the rails somewhere, and she's still got to run that trip out. So there's a little bit of in secret to Tempted. She might not quite be as good. Maybe she will be. Who knows in time. But in secret, got the perfect run and didn't quite see out the 1,400 metres in this race. Was beaten by a boy who was absolutely flying in Jackano. And I think this year's Jackano might be Autumn Boy. Look, he was beaten in that Ming Dynasty by 60s. But I just think he's got more improvement to come out of that. He carried 58 kilos there. He met 60s nearly 4 kilos worse off at the weights. Now they meet on level weights. Barrier 7 is good. Blink is on. I think he's the real improvement. I think he's a better horse than Woden. So Tempted, I've backed at a big price all in, and I've backed Autumn Boy at a big price all in as well. But both of them are great results for me. I think Tempted can win this and even win the Coolmore. And I think Autumn Boy, if he goes close here, will confirm his status as the Caulfield Guineas favourite. It's a great race. I think it's a race with probably only two or three chances. Like, I think Bayvact is a massive query at 14, and Nepotism still really? Might be another runaway. Yeah.
I thought he was fine.
No, he was good last time, but like, are you backing him to turn the tables on Tempted?
With the pace.
Like, Skyhook was a little bit unlucky. He ran straight past him.
Not really.
I don't know. What do you think of Skyhook, Nico? He's a good horse as well.
Skyhook didn't even run past Bayvacht.
He was
through the line. He did.
He was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He did work.
I just think there's two chances in this race. I know a lot of people are sticking up for Skyhook, but yeah, I don't know.
Bayvacht is the bet.
You fair kid enough. Yourself.
Yeah, I'm not saying fair enough to that.
In what world is Bayvacht the bet? What,
because of the pace.
Bet to maybe just beat walk. The ambulance?
They're going to walk.
Yeah. Okay.
He's going to get the
I just don't think he has the class. Look, quick
I
one.
Like Bayvacht.
There's three
you
slots
like
left in the Everest.
He's got a cute name.
Bayvacht.
He's got a nice name.
There's three slots left in the Everest. Mulberry has one. Mulberry's Jetabil's colours. I don't know if he's going well.
No,
well, for them to choose him.
They could take him.
And then there's two others. There's Godolphin and there's Coolmore. Do Cornwall take Woden as their Everest runner, or do they take him to the Caulfield Guineas?
Well, they should take him to the Caulfield Guineas because he's a miler. No, he's not a 1,200 metre horse. So
but they've got a slot in a $20 million race, and if they don't choose Woden, I don't think they've got anything else good enough to represent them.
Yeah.
They can't take Central Coast, can they?
Nah, he's just not even on the
Central Coast. Well, that'd nothing get better than midweeks.
That's probably their next best horse to take.
They don't have much right now.
They don't have much right now.
Hmm.
I reckon Woden might be going to the Everest.
Wow. What happens if he wins on, say he wins on Saturday? Do they nearly even think about, that's it, job done?
I think they'll go to the Everest. They may as well.
These sons of Wooten Bassett are going to be straight in the barn.
But think about this. They can keep him in Sydney, run an Everest. Like, if he runs last, it doesn't matter. It's not going to do any harm to his breeding pedigree. If they don't take Woden, they're going to have to pick another runner, and they're going to have to do a deal with him, and they're going to have to go 50-50 or 60-40. If they take Woden, they get 100% of the winnings.
Interesting.
It's a dilemma.
He ain't going to win.
I don't think that we're going to see him for too much longer if he snags a Group 1 in the next couple of starts.
Yeah. And the other one, do Godolphin take Tempted or do they take Tendrous?
I wouldn't be taking Tempted. I think she's too good. She can't win an Everest. Yeah, I think there's a big fat circle around the Coolmore. That's her race. You don't even bother going to an Everest.
So Tentris comes out, runs in the Danehill next week at Flemington. Yep. If he wins that, he goes to the Everest.
Sounds like he needs racing from what Sam Freeman said. They're going to use the Everest as a lead-up race for the Coolmore.
Yeah, well, he's a tough horse. He ran in almost everything as a two-year-old.
Yeah, that's the go. He runs well. That Danehill is going to be so hot next week.
Yeah. There's only one more bet I'm going to have at Rosehill, race 3. This should just win. Number 7, Juju Kibo, $2.50. He exploded again last start, over 2,400 metres. He was given a great ride by Ethan Brown after Brave Knock gave him a sore back on a heavy track the start prior. And he's well back on track for a Metropolitan now.
Why the fuck? Group 3, 2,400
metres. Yeah, that's the only annoying thing. Andrew Atkins.
Can you ride 55 off?
Brownie, maybe it does stretch him. Actually, yes, he can because he's riding Tempted, isn't he?
Yeah, what? Maybe.
Maybe he was already booked. I don't know. That's the only pain point. But he should be winning $2.50. If he's going to win a Metrop, he's got to take care of those yet again. But he's deep in the campaign. But nah, Juju Kiba, he just wins.
I hope so. But Andrew Atkins is enough of a knock.
Yeah. All right, around the grounds?
The Benalla Cup tomorrow. Plymouth will win the Cup.
Bet365 Benalla Cup. Thanks, mate. Put some respect on the name.
All right. The Bet365 Benalla Cup. Plymouth will win it.
Fantastic. 2,100. He's coming out of that. He's coming out of a very good form race as well. That Golden Path, Kingswood Globe race is fast run. It's a good platform.
He'll go forward. He'll go forward now, third up, and I think he'll run to his ratings that he was running as a three-year-old and a win.
He might not have won last time, but he was given a bit of a sore back. Given a lot
and they backed him. They backed him so hard. Yeah. He was like, remember we did the podcast and I liked him and he was like $11 or something and he started like $5 in the end.
Yeah, I got one of the
How good was Golden Path in the Group 1 in the Underwood?
Yeah, he was really good. The Group 1 rated poorly, but he was there still.
Yeah, well, he might have only run to 99 weight for age, whatever it was, but that's still good going for, you know, form lines like this.
A few sharp and a few non-sharp minds like Golden Path for some features.
Yeah, Caulfield Cup. Right. Yeah. All right. Podcast Questions. Multi.
Podcast Multi.
I'll take Street Artist on Saturday.
Of course you will, you little jerk.
Yep.
I want to take Unflinching. I could do it in tears. I'll take Vin Rock.
Vin Rock, race 4, Mooney Valley, number 1. I'll go with the best horse running all weekend, and that's in the Manicato. I'll go Lady Shenandoah. I don't think I'll have any regrets there. If she gets beat because of pattern, then burn the joint down and knock it down.
That's what they're doing anyway, isn't it?
That's what they're doing. Don't even run the Cox plate there. Just knock it straight down.
Burn the joint. look at Benny. He's just turned. That's fantastic.
All right. Let me get to some questions now.
I'm a bit Twitter flat questions. That we're not going to see Snoop tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't know if he was out.
He's playing at the ESPY.
That might have been a bit of a PR stunt.
G just went with it. Poor old G. He's had a bit of a hide this week, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck. The wooden bastard thing was hilarious. I mean, it's awful, but geez, that was funny.
Oh, topped a fair old rinsing for no apparent reason. All the Twitter toughies just went for him, yeah, man.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mind some of his eulogies. That one was a little bit much, but... Oh,
he's going to be a very big loss to the industry, wouldn't Bassett?
Yeah, he
is. And we've lost some good stallions in quick succession. Zoustar, wouldn't Bassett.
Zoustar? Yeah.
Was it Zoustar die? Or was it...
Schnitzel, you mean?
Schnitzel. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Boom punting.
Or the dudes. Reduced choice. I don't know. Did Snitzel die? I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Boom punting. Not really a question, but I've still not been paid out for Growing Empire from last year's edition of the Mankato. That's a sick beat.
Neither, bro.
Yuck. Can't wait to enjoy Lady Shenandoah night with you boys trackside. Bot, will you be on the waters or the cruises? This is grand final tips. Rainer first goal. Geelong 40 plus. Holmes Norm Smith.
Who's that from?
Bill the G&Ts.
That's boom punting as well. I actually like Max Holmes for the Norm Smith. He'll probably be one of the favourites, but I like him.
Hmm.
Pretty Aussie loyal winner punting, for Geelong.
Aussie punting battlers. Saturday at Sandown has me very excited.
You can have Sandown all you want, Aussie punt battlers.
Joseph Kersley, Cambridge Shire tip. Have you done your form for their bot?
No, I haven't gotten around to it yet.
No. Nick McGualter fan page. Will, is it safe to say Observer is not that good?
Yeah, probably.
Ben, have you got a Mad Monday story for the listeners? Well, it wasn't Mad Monday because we lost. It was just Silly Sunday, and then some people went to work on Monday. But I do have a story. I took that. We did a group quaddie, and I look like an absolute legend because we had the third leg, that $23 horse. What's his name? Chris. I forgot his name, but... Per Sempre won. And it was a long price. And everyone was thinking I was a king because we were going to get this big dividend. But we didn't want to ruin our percentage too much. So we just took Silver Magnate one out in the last.
Oh, no.
And it all came crashing down very quickly.
Talking about hype horses.
Yeah. The winner's actually not a bad horse as well.
Who's a good horse?
Silver Magnate's not
there. Oh, he's sitting on the bench with King Zephyr. He's actually in the row behind him.
King Zephyr's well got him covered.
Well, we'll see on Saturday when he wants to step up and play with the big boys again.
What's the horse that won in the Chautauqua colours?
Yeah, Wiz rode it. Hateful horse. What's it called?
Yeah, but it's got a couple good figures in the bank.
Not Hill Rip, is it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. One at $8.50. Probably should have included it anyway. Hamish Robinson, has Bot got something at odds we can wrap our lips around in the Stutt Stakes? Vinrock, untried track and trip query.
Nah, mate, just back Vinrock. Like, if you get close to evens, just steam into Vinrock.
Roxas FC, the goat is back for the goat is back for the Yulong Bayvact. 1400 might be a bit much though. What's Yulong got to do with Bayvact? Is it the Yulong Golden Rose or something?
Probably.
It's the Yulong Golden Rose, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Maybe that's why. Commiserations for the grand final, Ben, but this begs the question. Does that leave the door ajar for B. Colucci 3 votes to explore free agency opportunities? You might be able to help out that rabble at Essendon.
Who said that?
The same guy, our man Bayvact. He loves that horse. Rocks his FC.
We didn't touch on a few things off the top.
What?
Brownlow Knight.
All right, let's just leave that. Let's just park that, Nico. This podcast will go for too long. sorry to Essendon FC, but I've signed on at the mighty Caroline Springs again for next year. So sorry, Nico.
Benny's yellow bag is not. They don't have enough cash for Essendon for Benny.
Yellow. Why is it yellow?
Yellow paper bag.
They're pissed in it. Oscar Gordon. Who's a bigger camel, Observer or Silver Magnate?
Both.
Dead heat.
I play footy with Oscar and, we did the group quality together and we agreed to put it one out. So he's feeling the pain like I am. Chris DeCaster, which racing moment left you like this? And it's the screenshot of the St Kilda players at the Brownlow when Naz didn't get 3 votes for that game.
Angel Capital nice last choice weekend. Winning
the... Oh, God. Oh, that was sick. Knights choice winning the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, that's a good one. Knights choice winning the Melbourne Cup and the Michelle Payne horse, Prince of Benzance, winning the Melbourne Cup, probably.
But it's our greatest race, Bunners.
It is.
Lucas Greenwood. The biggest moral of the year goes around in race 4 at Sandown, Raikoki. Will you be having a max bet? Context time. Lucas part owns Raikoki. So, well done. It was a fantastic winner last
night. No one else is talking about another good horse in that race. Justin Hill's a horse.
Yeah, Justin Hill, yeah.
He could beat them both.
Yeah, potentially. Lucas Greenwood also says, after Kane Rising wins the Everest, could you see him lining up in the Melbourne Cup?
The Everest can't come quick enough.
Racing enough. Kane Rising won't travel, they say. Looks effing glowing, if you ask me. Mozza.
How's the idiots on... I wasn't going to say this, but how's the dickheads on Twitter saying that he's walking short behind, he's not this, he's not
that? I think that's a... They
must drink their own bathwater, those blokes, I'll tell you. He's going to absolutely obliterate them in the Everest.
Looks a piss take.
It's like it's like comparing a Ferrari to a Ford Falcon.
Guido only do Ferrari. Ryan Patton, after a bit of talk last week on Twitter about the Melbourne Cup losing its aura. Why is aura this new word? Don't like it. And the Everest potentially becoming the new favourite race for the nation. Are we simply forgetting that the Wongoom exists?
I love that. Respect. I don't know. The Melbourne Cup's always going to be the race that stops most people's nation. It doesn't really stop mine. It is what it is. Melbourne Cup Day is arguably the shittest day of racing for the entire spring carnival. It's still going to be the great race, but like it doesn't.
Wash your fucking mouth out.
No,
body's seething.
It doesn't do it for me. Like I still appreciate the race.
Just because you can't fucking back the winner of the Melbourne Cup.
I've backed multiple winners the last few years. You peanut.
Yeah, righto.
Gold trip.
Let's move on. Yeah, the last question on Twitter.
The Everest appeals to people our age because it's young, it's vibrant, it's etc.
Give it a crack, mate.
I actually can't meet him.
Do it, mate. Just
try and talk, Nico. Try and talk, Nico.
I'm lucky, champ.
Surely it's a Friday fill up with Escher, Vinrock, Lady Shenandoah, and Treasure of the Moment. Just take out Escher, mate, and you'll be all right. And also, any Derby Day futures you boys like right now?
No.
Nico, sorry, I've got you on mute. Who?
Did I stutter? I'll pour the cold water over it for a stew. Well, I know who can't win the Derby. Observer.
Oh, in the Cornwall, tempted to win the Cornwall. I like Federalist in the Derby if he ends up going there.
That's too far away. I haven't looked that far ahead.
Yeah. All right, just a couple of Instagram questions to finish. Tom Kennedy, Treasure of the Moment, Vinrock, and Evaporate in a treble? ?
Don't mind it.
Do you like a bot?
Sure.
Isaac Fry, going to need some bot magic like last year. # Kingswood at $41. Oh, that was magic.
That was.
I can't believe we didn't bring that up.
Yeah, well.
You know, I look like a hero as well because I was watching AFL Grand Final with my mates. Tipped them all Kingswood at whatever price. He ended up starting $21 or something.
No, he started $9.
Oh, did he? Well, we all got on it like $21 or whatever it was. I got on even earlier, but they had a crack as well at double figures. You beauty. Brady White. Nico, can you tip us a winner or are you going to keep tipping us three-legged ponies? What?
That's fair. I was about even ledger last week. So,
yeah, I was slightly in the positive. Clay, Caleb McCormack.
I filled up for what it's worth.
No one fucking asked, smart ass.
All right. Bot goes on mute now. Caleb McCormack. Caleb McCormack. What odds would Jolly Star be with no Kane rising in the Everest? Also, who wins the Norm Smith?
What's the point of even asking these type of questions? Because Kane rising's here.
Yeah, well, if he wasn't here, Jolly Star would be $4 favourite in the Everest right now, I reckon.
Lady Shenandoah would be second favourite and she would be ahead of Jolly Star.
Norm Smith tip. You're tipping Bailey Smith for the Norm Smith.
If Geelong win, yeah. But from the Lions, I reckon Dane Zorko and Will Ashcroft and Jasper Fletcher will be the bets on that.
All right. I'm going to go Max Holmes. I'm pretty confident Geelong might win, but I love my boy Zach Bailey.
I really, really want Geelong. I really want Brisbane to win. Yeah. But I just think that they're a bit banged up and Geelong have had all the answers at the moment. You really can't win big games when you're under the weather. And I think, head saying
Geelong. Have you seen the big news that's just come through as well?
No.
What?
That Barry's not going to play?
Yeah, I did hear that. That does put a dent.
Jared Berry. Things. Yeah.
He was probably the one that goes to danger.
Yeah, he's a big bull in and under. Can tag a player.
That'll be Dunkley's role now, I'd say.
Two more questions. I am Nathan Burkett. If you could become a past or living horse, who would it be?
It's my sort of question.
Nico's going to choose some stallion.
Oath.
I don't know.
Farlap Hundy. Got the nation out of a Great Depression.
Yeah. Bit of aura about him, Ben, don't you reckon?
Oh, mate, he was aura farming.
Oh, stop it.
Maybe. That's disgusting. I don't know.
God, I'm going to be that dad that, like, embarrasses their son.
Mate, if I was going to be embarrassed for you right now.
If I was going to be a cult, maybe Frankel, because everyone used to rave about him. But if I just could be any horse, I'd be Nature Strip, because then I would have been the fastest man in the world.
Bot? Black Cav?
Yeah.
All right. I'll stick with
Fire. Bot's beatable, though, so Black Caviar's not okay for him. Maybe he should be Winx.
Got beat as a younger horse.
Yeah.
Damon Winley, Pride of Jenny... been put through more pain than Simpson and his donkey in World War One. I don't know. I don't know where I sit on this anymore. Should she be retired? Yeah, maybe. But it's their decision, it's their horse. I don't really know. She's in the race, so we may as well deal with it. There's no point complaining. All right. Leave it there.
Yep.
Happy days. Geelong by 15 points, Max Holmes best on. Nico?
Oh, yeah, I don't really want to go over it anymore. Just,
All right.
That's it for me. Pray for Ash Morgan.
Margin and Norm Smith.
I'm fairly done by.
Geelong by 30 and Jeremy Cameron.
Huge. All right, Zach Bailey hopefully kicks first goal. All right, that's all we've got time for. Good luck this weekend. It's going to be an absolute punting marathon.
We may or may not have a guest next week.
We may or may not be alive next week.
We may or may not be.
We'll see how we go.
Yep, huge.
All right.
Anyway, punters, get to the rally tomorrow night.
Julian Valance will be on at some stage. Maybe it might be next week, but we'll just have to see how we go. All right, thanks, punters. Good luck. See you tomorrow
night. See you at the valley.
Ciao.